They're starting to lose their
boop.
Yeah.
Boop.
Was that this? Was that the
that
thing?
Was this, yeah.
What the boop?
There, it's better now.
It's boop.
It just hadn't been moved.
The hell kind of operation is this?
What is this?
This is NPR.
What the hell's going on here?
This is a rinky dink freaking. Did that just squeak again?
It did. Don't.
Son of a
boop.
I'm going to kill that thing.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my man, James Tapeleg-Granlian from the Rink Podcast, and I break down the 12 games since our last show. We discuss Ryan O'Reilly's return to the Avalanche lineup. We explain why blaming the officials won't solve your problems, and we chat about the realignment of the league, as well as the realignment of the Avalanche's lines. Those topics and a ton more Avalanche and hockey stuff. Coming at you in episode number 78 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. And I'm your host, Jay Veen. Here, as always, with my ill friend, James Tapeleg-Granlian.
I'm plague-infested.
He has...
the plague.
The plague?
The Black Death has descended upon me.
So this is our final show.
I'm going to die.
Can I have your podcasting gear?
Yes. You can have the laptop that doesn't seem to be working.
James just did his Mr. Wizard thing and got everything working.
Wizard!
That's what we like to see. So, hi, James.
Hi.
How are you? Are you ready to jump out this window right here?
I am ready to jump out that window. And
not because you're sick.
No.
But it seems like many Avalanche fans are ready to jump out the nearest window.
Because the right Avalanche?
No. Yeah. It's just hockey.
It's just, no. What? Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. This is, you know what? A couple of bounces, a little bit of hard work down low, a few calls go their way. They're right back in this thing.
Do you have your resume in to Altitude?
Yeah.
Because you could fit right in. I know that bothers you when they give the old, everything's fine.
Everything's great.
They're working hard. Couple bounces. So I think some people are expecting like a negative show. I don't think we've ever done a negative show. We've been a little down, been a little sad, but it's not going to be sad.
When the Black Death infests you like it has me,
mm-hmm.
it might happen.
It could. I probably won't let it, but
what show is this?
We'll see how things go. This is episode number 78 of the Avs Hockey Podcast.
And of course, we all remember who wore number 78.
Some guy?
That guy.
The guy with the stick and the skates and stuff.
It was probably the guy who actually just wrote it on the back because there wasn't actually a 78. So.
It's happened before. I saw a jersey yesterday afternoon at Pepsi Center, number 19.
Uh-huh.
Smokin' Joe.
It said Smokin' Joe?
It said Smokin' Joe on it.
Please tell me it was a blueberry.
No. That would have made it even better. Wow. But anyways, we're going to do seven.
Hey Smokin' Joe, if you're listening to this podcast,
oof.
Look.
Yikes.
Dude, this is an intervention.
Talk. Let's talk here.
This is an intervention. Don't do that. Don't.
That's not okay.
Number 33 Dobbs wants to talk.
Well, there was a 33 blueberry behind the... Oh, it was a blueberry too? I just noticed that. I was more worried about the retired number with the guy's own name on it.
Yeah.
He had his own name on it with 33 and it was a blueberry.
Dobbs, that was the same thing except
Dobbs.
It wasn't a blueberry.
Dobbs!
33 Dobbs.
Yeah.
How about the 99 that we saw?
23 Avalanche. Yeah, it's Jersey Foul Fest at Pepsi Center most games.
Yeah, I think that people take okay, we're going to get to who it is and we got to get to the show.
Sometime.
Sometimes I think that people take the Jersey Foul thing a little bit too like seriously. Like,
yeah.
Like I've heard people complain about if you're at a game and let's say it's Canadians versus Toronto and you wear your Islanders jersey. Well, people think that's a jersey foul, and I think that's a bunch of hooey.
Not necessarily, no.
Yeah, wear what you want. But for the love of God.
For all that's holy in jerseys.
Retired numbers. If you respect the number, leave your name off of it. Because you know what? You aren't Super Joe.
You're not Smokin' Joe.
You might be Smokin' Joe. Smokin' Joe should wear 91 then.
Maybe that was that guy's name. Maybe his name was Joe. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. There was a story behind that that I probably, or you probably don't want to hear.
No, probably not.
Smoking Joe. So this is episode number 70 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Mm-hmm. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. We're going to do 7 plus 8, which is 15,
math.
Whatever.
That's math.
Doesn't matter. I got the math right this time.
You did the math.
We're going to dedicate this show to P.A. Parenteau, who has been money. Cash money.
Cash money.
He's had a great year so far.
Great salad.
He's got good flow.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're talking about his hair, and if you haven't seen the Buttigieg, actually, you know, there were two, John Buttigieg put up two vlogs, whatever he wants to call it. Vlog rating.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. It already hurts just to exist right
it's
now.
All right, it's all right.
The plague.
You have a playoff game tonight. You need to get in playoff mode. When I leave here, you should have your playoff face on, your game face.
Don't I look like I have my game face on now? What face do I have on right now?
I don't know.
Is this my podcasting face?
Yeah.
Look, nobody cares. We got to get to this. P.A. Yes. Parenteau.
Money.
Money.
He's been money.
Okay, so Buttigieg, he had the he had a vlog thing where he did the hockey lingo, and about half of it was made up, and about all of it was funny. And if you got good hair, you got good salad.
For those of you that might have seen it too, there's a guy in Minnesota for the state tournament. The kids actually, when they're introduced, they go out to the blue line, they skate to the blue line, and they stop. And he took, you know, small video clips of each who had the best hair, and he did the all hair team.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I will post it with the show.
Please do.
P.A. Parenteau. Parenteau. Sorry. Thank you.
We were trying to figure out what his nickname would be.
It was Trainwreck.
Yeah.
How do you
come up with a hockey name, hockey nickname for that?
PA? Well, the one thing, like, if I'm representing P.A. Parenteau and I'm his agent, you know, I could just say that's a kick-ass hockey name right there. Pierre-André Parenteau.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You're not going to sign my man?
Oh, shocking that he was born in Quebec. Shocking.
Yes. Yeah. So
played for the Chicoutimi Sanguins. Sangria?
Might as well.
Okay, so P.A. Parenteau, who's been on fire, he has
8 points in his last 5 games.
12 goals right now gives you 19th, I'm sure tied for, 19th in the league.
Well, for points, Duchesne and Parenteau are right up there. Wow. The rest of the team.
Well, points, he's 28 points right now in 27 games.
Hey, what more can you ask for?
Now, I mean, well, more because they need it.
They need more.
Shooting percentage of 18.8%.
That's good.
That's on fire.
Absolutely.
Shoot more.
Yeah.
More shots.
God, pick up the slack, dude.
He only has one game-winning goal. That's stunning to me.
Maybe he's not clutch. That's David Jones's job.
David Jones.
Going to be tougher with David Jones on the fourth line. We'll get to that in just a little bit.
Okay, so.
All right. Huge news from the last show. Between now and the last show, it's been 12 games. It's been 25% of the season since our last show.
That doesn't seem right.
That's weird. But anyways, Ryan O'Reilly's back. February 28th, the Flames offer him a big ol' offer sheet. The Avalanche match like a couple hours later. Everybody's totally, I don't know, totally confused even more. I'm glad it's finally over. I know we all are.
I really didn't know if the Avalanche were going to match. I mean, it's easy to say in hindsight, oh, yeah, you should have thought. No, I had no idea if they were going to match because there was enough stupidity that he could have walked for a first and a third.
They were decisive, which you have to give them credit for, obviously. So was this like a Sherman thing, a Kroenke thing? Did the Kroenkes not want to pay O'Reilly until they figured out if somebody else wanted to pay O'Reilly? Some of it was thinking it's personal because Michel Goulet works in the front office for the Flames and thinking he's trying to, you know, stick it to his former team who let him go. There was all kinds of like theories out there. We still never know the truth.
Right.
But I was just as shocked as you were within a couple hours. You know, during that game that night against the Flames, the Avalanche matched the deal. And the next day, O'Reilly's out of practice. And here we are.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if there's that much more to say about the whole thing. I'm just glad the mess is over. And breaking it down and trying to figure out what's going to go on with them is now over.
Well, yes, if it's a Sherman thing. I mean, anything that's a Sherman thing might also be a Lacroix thing. It's impossible to tell.
Could be an ownership thing. Like, yeah. It's still really hard to tell throughout this whole thing who to really, I guess, blame. I guess, you know, it really doesn't matter now. And
you
don't
can't
necessarily
blame, you know, you were asking about, was it Goulet because, you know, sticking to the old team. If you let a player dangle for 19 games, guess what? He's poachable.
That's your fault.
Yeah, it's your own damn fault, whoever goes after him.
Yep. So there it is. He's back. I mean, he's been a factor. Sorry.
Why do you hurt my heart like that?
Because I know you're sick already.
2 goals, 4 assists in 8 games. He looked sloppy in the first.
What you'd expect.
Didn't he put it in a goal?
He did. I called a goal for him and tipped it in his own net. Yeah, I mean.
But that's what you get because, you know, when you're surfing the sofa for so long, what are you going to do?
You're not in game shape, obviously. You've missed a lot of time. And he's made the team better. I don't think anybody can argue about that. He hasn't been what everybody wants him to be, but.
Any excuse that you have to get Mark Ulver in the press box for a game, I'm happy with.
You're good with that? That's all you need?
If you need to shift people around,
that's fair enough.
That's fine.
I can go with that.
Any excuse that you need to not keep these freaking minor leaguers that we keep pulling up from the monsters when everybody's getting hurt, great. Just do it. Just
please.
Know, please. Sign the entire roster of the Islanders if you have to. I don't care. I'm tired of watching.
Bold statement.
I'm just saying. I'm tired of watching the Lake Erie Monsters skating at the Pepsi Center.
It is. This is like what we were having for this a while. Is the healthiest the team has been in years.
Which is not saying much considering what happened to Wilson, what happened to Johnson. Yeah, it's just.
And right now the only person out or hurt is Steve Downey. Everybody else is healthy. Ryan Wilson has his nagging ankle injury. He was scratched yesterday afternoon. But
Hayduke was scratched, wasn't he?
Hayduke was a healthy scratch.
He was a healthy
scratch. Ulver was a healthy scratch as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But fingers are definitely starting to point, especially with a healthy team, back to Joe Sacco, which it ebbs and flows. And we'll talk about that all the way through. So the game that was going on when we actually recorded our last show, Saturday, February 23rd, the Avalanche lose 4-1 against the Kings. Mm-hmm. Gabriel Landeskog came back.
Yep.
And that was really nice. But the Avalanche play like they have lately, and they give up a goal early, and they never lead in the game, and they were never really in this game at all.
I'm going to pull out a Saccoism and just kind of bust it apart for a moment.
Here we go. I know it's coming.
Starting the game on time.
Yes.
Heard it over and over and over and over. If there is a single thing that I would point to about Joe Sacco possibly losing the room, that's the one. How many times can you go to the same thing over and over and over and it doesn't work and then you go to the same thing again? That is, if there is a quintessential, we have our quintessential Peter McNabb, which was
hard work down low.
Mm-hmm. Even. And Joe Sacco, I think if there is a single thing that's going to define his era, aside from missing the playoffs, losing a lot.
A ton. Well, actually, his record's really not awful.
Compared to what?
I don't know. I mean, it really isn't. It's over 500, which I have a hard time believing, but it is.
Really?
Yeah, barely.
Seems impossible.
Well, you check it.
I'm not going to.
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Check it! But starting the game on time, I think, is the thing that really defines the Joe Sacco era. You know, I mean, Quenneville was defined by his, you know, mustache and line changing.
And calling a timeout.
And calling timeout.
Always, 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 yeah.
But, that's all. Yeah. If that's all it is, and you can't get these guys to start the game on time, and that's your big deal, you've lost the room, you're done.
It's something that I've thrown out there on Twitter is him being outcoached. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he's a terrible coach. I'm saying the people he's coaching against are making better adjustments. They get their teams ready to play hockey a little bit more effectively than Joe Sacco does.
Right.
I'm not saying one or the other. I'm just saying him as compared to the competition and the adjustments that are made during the game. There you go. And Matt Duchene was saying it yesterday, and it wasn't a slam on Joe Sacco, but it was, you know, we're tight right now. We give up an early goal, and then everybody's scared to make that next mistake. But then, you know, who's going to be the next healthy scratch? And you know, when you're scratching Hayduke, when he had a decent game before, when Tyson Barrie sent down, I mean, some of the decisions are starting to make the team shaky. And Peter McNabb used the word fragile. And I think that was probably the best, I guess, descriptor of what this team is right now. And you can see it. I mean, you don't have to know hockey to know this team is fragile.
Right.
They give up a couple early goals, or they're up a couple, which they haven't been for 3 whole games right now. They they haven't led for 3 straight games, let alone win.
Wow.
That's a fragile team.
It's hard to win a game when you don't lead.
Deep thoughts from Chapes Tape Legralian. It's true. It's true. The lone Av goal in that game was Milan Hayduk on the power play. Power play goals are always good. Thank you. 23. Sunday, January 24th, the Avalanche lose 4-3 in overtime against the Ducks in Anaheim. Avalanche Lee 2-0 in the first, and I don't know if anybody's ever seen this one, but Cody McLeod tipped a Matt Hunwick shot from the point and broke his stick in the process, and the puck went in. Did you see the replay on that one? That was awesome. I haven't seen that before.
It just snapped right into it, just it, like kind of dangled.
He just seen, he just throws it down and throws his hands up, and yeah, that was really cool. I don't think I've ever seen that before. And also, I can't remember, it was game before last when I was at Pepsi Center, but Chuck Kobosu kicked a puck from his own side of the red line all the way across the other goal line, and it was icing on a puck that he kicked. Just things I've never seen. I've watched a lot of hockey over the years. I've never seen that before either. What happened? Then the Avalanche blew the lead, whatever. Credit to Mark Rycroft, who was talking about Ryan Getzlaff. And I believe this was the goal that gave the – I think it tied the game in the third period at three. Puck went by Jiggy. It's just kind of sitting there right behind him. One of the easiest goals that Getzlaff will ever score. But he was celebrating like it was some kind of a big deal, and Rycroft called him out. And I love Rycroft. It's probably something he wouldn't say to Getzlaff's face.
Yeah.
Getzlaff's a big guy.
I don't know. He might, because Getzlaff, I mean, Rycroft was a player.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not that far removed.
Yeah. He'd probably say, hey, Bordy, will you tell him this or something like that? But
the Ryan Getzlaff, by the way, who was signed for $8.25 million average a season. What was he signed through? 2020?
Something like that.
21 season?
Basically.
But at $8.25 million a year, he will earn $100,000 every regular season game.
That's pretty good. That's what we make every show. Minus $100,000.
Well, then I'd be able to replace that damn laptop that crapped out.
That's true. We'd have more options than that.
Figure that thing out.
Oh, so what else happened? The Avalanche had one shot in the third period, and that was 18 seconds into the period.
You know, but I blame the refereeing for their
absolutely
loss.
Are you kidding me?
If you get one shot in a whole period, it's the referee's fault that you lost.
Not that the Avalanche blew two leads. They gave up three power play goals in the game.
Yeah.
And the fans and the team starts to lean on the officiating. Terry Fry calls him out. I had to look up a couple of these words. Terry Fry has a good vocabulary. I'm not joking either. I am not joking. If the Avs get into the blame the officials mode, that doubles the ignominy. Yes, that's shame. Let's see. Kroenke Sports Entertainment precedents. I do realize that if you listen to some following Nuggets who fixate on the refs, they'd be undefeated with fair officiating. That happens too. Terry Fry also says, can't help but think of Barry Trotz's class and pragmatism. That's winning attitude and strategy. Last week, smart, refreshing, and refs notice. And that's the big thing. Sorry, didn't mean to.
I feel like there should be like this is
subtitles.
The more you know.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. But Terry Fry brings up some good points. Barry Trotz was talking about the non-call on Matt Duchesne's offside.
Right.
Says the right thing, says what he should say. And sometimes the Avalanche don't have that.
Well,
and Joe Sacco came right out and said that I didn't agree with, I don't know, it was some of the calls that led to the power plays that led to the Ducks' power play goals. And he kind of calls the officials out. And you're just like, what good is this?
And I wonder if some of that's gamesmanship. But then again, the Board of Governors are going to be meeting, I think it's Wednesday, and on the docket looks like officiating and the consistency with officiating.
It's been bad.
But that's the level that it goes to. It goes to the GMs. The coaches have absolutely no influence, although, you know,
they can have a bad influence.
Well, we've seen, what's his butt, Buffalo say, Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff would get into these media scrums and start bitching about the officiating, and there would be different calling the next game.
Does Tortorella do that?
Tortorella kind of does that, but he also is just so difficult with the media.
He's pissed
sometimes.
Off with the media to begin with.
He hates the media unless he's the media. That's the thing with him.
Deep thoughts with James Sable Grayling.
What was the tweet I put out the other day? Coach Tortorella hates the media. Analyst Tortorella loves the media. Yeah. Barista Tortorella loves coffee. Tivana Tortorella hates coffee. Hey, quick shout out to Anthrax Jones, who said that Tivana Tortorella sounds like a great stripper name.
It probably already is. It already is somewhere in New York.
Mine is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mocha Crawford. That is my stripper name.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I have a good one.
Right on.
So anyways, where are we talking? So Tortorella, who knows? Because he's always, you know.
He's just angry.
He's just surly. And you stick him next to Larry, whatever his name is from the New York Post. And boy, they just the fireworks.
Watch it go.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't, it's going to the GMs. The GMs are going to talk about it. But what are you going to do? who was it that put out a somebody put out a couple of tweets or a post that said, look, oh, I think it was Elliot Friedman, his 30 for thoughts and 30 hockey thoughts column. He said, look, and you know, you got to give some credit to the refs, though. They didn't take anybody's jobs in the lockout.
No, none of
them
worked.
They didn't go and take minor league jobs. They didn't go overseas, blah, blah, blah. Now, were they didn't have a training camp. Were they prepared?
Yeah.
No, but, you know, that's them's the breaks sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the worst reffing job in the world was at my last
that's a fact.
Hockey game. Yes. My last game that I played, because, boy, did my team give it to those refs. But you got to remember, the refs love hockey. That's why they got into it. That's why they do it. And that's why they put up with the crap that they do from the fans, from the coaches, from the players, from everywhere.
They're the best in the world.
Yeah.
They're still the best in the world. Well, at least in the U.S.
Don Van Massenhoven, I'll never forget when he took that puck in the face. Mm-hmm. What was it? Eight orbital bones shattered.
Oh, yeah. He broke his face, literally. Yeah.
He's back
out there.
Yeah.
No, they're you know.
So anyways, you can't blame the refs for that loss.
I think if you come out, like, behind doors, if you want to talk to your team about it, I'm fine with that. When you start kind of hinting towards that, people notice that. One way or another, they notice that.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, and I mean this in a negative way.
I don't hear that very often.
What it reminds me of is when Alain Vigneault, the head coach of Vancouver, would complain and complain and complain about the refs. And what that started to do was put onto the fan base, because I didn't see this much from the fan base before this, put onto this attitude of the league is against us, the refs are against us, it's not our fault, which, hey, maybe that's part of, you know, considering the it's not our fault and a few lucky bounces kind of attitude that seems to come from the Kroenke sports empire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember from the Canucks, and we don't need that, and nobody needs
it. It's not going to do any good.
No.
It's pretty much wasted energy. I mean, the calls, like, I did a blog post and I broke everything down and I included as much video as I could as far as what they captured. But I mean, like, Zanin is in bad position. He goes to try and catch up with Getzlaff, who went right by him. Mm-hmm. Corey Perry slashes a stick out of his hands and everybody's all angry before the puck even goes in. That's one of them. There's a no call on Cody McLeod. Like, they're missed calls.
Yeah.
But you complaining about it, it's too late anyways.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of when when Craig Anderson was still the goalie. The puck was pretty much shot out, hit the netting. Everybody, all the Avs stopped. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, it went out. The other team didn't stop, scored a goal. And they were like, hey, the puck went out.
That's nice.
If the ref didn't see the puck go out,
he's not going to blow the whistle.
And you can't blow the whistle just because the netting's moving, because how many, you know, fans are down there banging on the glass and shaking it? Well, that's, you know, that shakes the netting.
Yeah.
So you play to the whistle, you play to the situation, and you move forward.
Basically, I've been going more off sound, too. I mean, I think you can kind of get the trajectory of the puck, but if I hear it hit, you know, if I hear it hit the glass, that indicates something. If I don't hear it hit the glass and I thought the trajectory was up, that's when I'm expecting that whistle. But
heck,
I'm sitting up in the stands. It doesn't matter what I think or do. So it's a tough job, and they're not going to be perfect, and your job is to play well enough. So if they're not perfect, it doesn't kill you, and this game wasn't a very good example of that. So, you know, the Avs reacted literally, physically, and mentally pretty poorly, and I did a blog post. I'll post that up. So the Avalanche lose that one, and then they lose 3-2 the next game, Tuesday, February 26th, against the Sharks in San Jose. Matt Duchene's out for this game with a groin. The Avalanche did lose in a shootout, but they also never led in this game. Gave up a goal to Logan Couture 25 seconds into the first.
There have been a lot of early goals. Not just against the Avs, but
over the years.
League-wide.
Yeah.
Just league-wide this year. It seems like...
You know why that is?
Yesterday, I think it was, that one of the Canucks scored like with 6 seconds into the game.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but... You know why that is?
Money?
No, they're not starting the game on time. So, Varley was spectacular. 39 saves.
Oh, plague. Take me away.
Please, right now. Right now is a good time. Varley's great, 39 saves, basically saves the Avalanche a point with a save on Joe Thornton in overtime, which, you know, I wanted to get a still shot of that and make a cool meme out of it, but I didn't, because he didn't have a still shot, but I'll post a video to that save. Outstanding. And I've got a note about Paul Stastny, period, and...
That's all you wrote was Paul Stastny?
That's as much as I remember about that. I'm not quite sure what that means, but Paul Stastny did something that I wanted to mention.
Paul Stastny.
26.
Yep.
Paul Stastny. So there was that.
It was February 26th.
Something on February 26th. Paul Stastny did something really cool. So
anybody knows, comments are open.
Let us know. I don't know. Thursday, February 28th, the Avalanche win 5-4 against the Flames at Pepsi Center. A big three-goal comeback in the third period, especially the day that they signed O'Reilly. It was a very glorious day in Avalanche history for a lot of fans. Duchesne was back. He wasn't 100%, but he was back. And, you know, it's the Avalanche are obviously better. He also scored the game-winning goal in the third period. Landy with his first career three-point game with a goal and two assists. The Avalanche were down 3-0 after the first period and 4-2 after the second period. And score three in the third. That was Landy, Stastny, and Duchesne. Nice little comeback. That's Flames hockey lately, although they're starting to play a little bit better.
But now Kiprusoff is back, and he still doesn't look that good.
But they're still ahead of the Avalanche in the standings.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not going to mention that. Sunday, March 3rd, the Avalanche lose 2-1 in overtime against the Blue Jackets. Just another flat, like... I see James looking at my notes. This was great, and I will post a video to this as well. Artem Anisimov with the game winner in overtime, and it went right through RJ Umberger. I mean, and I think they actually, when I looked at it closer, I didn't look at RJ Umberger's junk closer, but his pants on the way into the net. So I'm thinking he could have gotten
deflection off the Gagliardi's. if it hits you in the package and goes in, does TJ Gagliardi get an assist no matter where
he gets
playing?
An honorary, he gets an asterisk for that game, but it's great. And on a certain angle, I think it shows two or three angles for this. It's getting dirtier and dirtier with the angle thing, but you can see actually Umberger go, whoa, that was close. But another disappointing loss for the Avalanche in overtime against the Blue Jackets. Tuesday, March 5th against the Red Wings. This is where the Avalanche started to play well. They put together like four or five games where they looked good. Now, the two games we'll talk about here, they didn't get any points, but they look good. Greg Zannon is your $2.25 million healthy scratch.
Here's the thing with Greg Zannon. We've bashed on Greg Zannon. That's fine by me. You want to scratch him? Scratch him. Do something.
Yeah.
But then, was he back the next game, I think?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he still sucked.
Because the Avalanche lost.
Yeah.
So he's back in. See how that works?
Well, they lost when he was scratched.
Oh, they lost with lose
2-1 to the Red Wings.
When Sacco needs to change up the lineup, see? Because they lost, so something wasn't right, so I'm going to bring in new guys, and we'll just do that thing the whole time.
Look, you can scratch this defense as much as you want, but you've still got to play six of them, and that's the problem right now.
Depth is a problem.
You've got depth issues. You've got a rotating cast of who's – it's like you've got a defense fairy. And the defense fairy can only sit on one defenseman's shoulder at a time.
They need
and
a lot more fairies.
It just keeps moving between O'Byrne, Hunwick, and I don't know O'Brien. Who actually.
Yeah, it's busy fairy.
Yeah, it might actually be only two. Apparently, it doesn't like the smell of Zannon, and it doesn't it doesn't like the look of O'Brien because the defense fairy is not sitting on either one.
The best way I could, and I described it to my dad, and he kind of liked this kind of analogy. Like Matt Hunwick is, I'm a baseball guy too. Matt Hunwick is your pitcher who throws 98 miles an hour and has no idea where the ball's going.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude, like, I watch him skate, and it's great to watch him skate. He's so talented with his skates.
With his skates.
And that's the end of my sentence.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's a well-played game. The Avalanche had great opportunities. Jimmy Howard looked great in net.
You didn't tell your dad about the defense fair?
I will now, but.
Man, your dad is going to.
It's going to make my metaphor look so terrible. Oh. So the Avalanche play well, but lose 2-1. Paul Stastny with a late goal. And then the next night, March 6th, against the Blackhawks, Avalanche are working on breaking their streak at that point. They're leading 2-1 going into the third period, but like James always says, they're working, you know, they're protecting their one goal or no goal lead.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did. Jonathan Toews with a beautiful shorthanded goal to tie the game early in the third. And then Daniel Carcillo. That scoring machine scores late in the third with less than a minute.
And this is the thing about that team. If you have a confident team, anybody can score, or anybody might score. Dan Carcillo is not a scoring machine. Dan Carcillo should not be scoring game-winning goals. But when you have a team that is on fire like that, that believes in itself.
Well, and then like you're rolling lines. Like, there's no reason Daniel Carcillo should be out a minute left in the game with the game tied. But he is because you can roll lines because you're playing that well.
Except that, of course, Avs took out Patrick Sharp with a separate, you know, he had to leave the game with a separated shoulder. Who ran him into the boards? I think it was Hunwick.
I can't remember.
I think it was Hunwick.
Yeah.
But he just basically burned Tyson Berry a couple times, and I think, I don't know, maybe that led to the sending Berry down. We'll talk about that in a second.
And who, by the way, was standing in the crease facing the wrong way when the puck went in? Shane O'Brien.
We haven't even mentioned Jan Hayda.
Who? He's been playing.
He's been all right. I haven't noticed him. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to notice defensemen.
No.
Yeah.
Not like that last podcast that we were talking about when he went puck chasing against.
He's not managing the gap. Yeah. He's got to manage the gap.
He wasn't even managing his mind. He lost his freaking mind.
And so it goes.
So the
Avalanche play back-to-back nights, earn no points, but play well.
And they lose to the Blackhawks, who they wanted to break their streak. And obviously, then that's never going to happen, right?
Everybody loses to the Blackhawks. I mean,
all the time.
But a lot of people, and I don't know whether it was the Sharp thing or whatever, but as well as the Avalanche were playing and returning home, a lot of people were telling me before the game, this is the night when the streak ends, and it did.
It did.
And it was a great crowd, although there was probably...
You were there?
I don't even want to guess how many Blackhawks fans there was. 4,000 or 5,000, and I'm not joking.
I know one of them, our buddy Chris Huffine.
He was there.
And he wasn't upset at all at the loss.
Oh,
man.
I was consoling him. I was keeping it classy. He was sad. But he was one of the people that told me, I think it ends tonight, but it's never easy, I guess.
Avs win 6-2.
Avs win.
6-2.
Six.
Decisive.
Matt Duchene, a goal and 3 assists.
Nice.
6 difference goal scorers for the Avalanche, including Ryan O'Reilly's first of the season on a one-timer on the power play from Matt Duchene. So they're friends. They're BFFs. No matter what Mike Chambers says from the post. All Matt Duchene, have you been following that whole thing? All Matt Duchene said was, I wouldn't have done what Ryan O'Reilly did because I love playing this game too much. That's all he said. It wasn't slamming Ryan O'Reilly.
It was a bit of a jab.
It was a little bit, but I think both sides understood it. Yeah. It wasn't. But then all of a sudden, there's this huge riff.
Because, you know, here's what the Denver Post does. They know a lot about the insider stuff in the locker room because the Avs are really good about sharing stuff.
They're so transparent.
They don't know. Yeah. Nobody knows. And that's okay. And frankly, one comment about the negative side means about as much, nothing, as one hug on the ice after a goal, because that's what they do. That's hockey. You know, it's like basketball. When you miss a free throw, you still get the, you know, hey man, good job. Good shot. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much it's the culture.
Okay.
You know, and this is the same thing, but so who knows? Who cares?
I don't care.
I don't care.
But they need something to talk about.
Yeah. So,
there we go. As with 2 power play goals, which is something they hadn't done in a while.
Stunning.
And Eric Johnson comes back after missing, I think it was double-digit games with a concussion. So Avalanche getting healthier. So that was great. March 10th, Sharks at the Avalanche. Here goes James. James was there.
I was there.
Break it down.
Oh,
it was Tommy awesome. Wingles.
Tommy Wingles. I'm so sick I can barely do the Tommy Wingles.
I know Philly the Fool liked your falsetto.
Oh, my God. Phil Park, thank you. I was going to wait for the shout-outs, but we're doing it now. Shout-out to Phil Park for... He had some tickets to the game. Came all the way over from the mountains, drove down,
over the mountains. Yeah.
Oh yeah, right through the tunnel. You know, total hillbilly mode. Came down and we had a blast. We had a great time. It was fun. I was on the end with the overtime goal.
Holy cow!
Holy cow is right.
Holy Matt Duchene.
Matt Duchene scores with 0.2 seconds left on the clock. And when the puck went in, of course, everybody's freaking out. But my eyes, the very first thing I did was look at the ref. And the ref's got his arms in the air. Like, hold on.
No.
And I'm like, oh, no.
You put your arms down. You put them down.
And Phil is like, quit ruining my buzz, man. And I'm like, look.
I think Matt Duchene gave it a little peek, too. He looked over and was like, goal. Yeah.
But it was
awesome.
0.2 seconds.
Yeah.
The puck cross line. I hope that, you know, whoever's running the clock maybe had a little bit of a slow finger that night.
You just think, I mean, 0.2 seconds, like, what are the, I mean, the chances are obviously pretty good because it happened, but what are the chances you have an extra 0.2 based on how many times that clock is starting and stopped
exactly
throughout
time,
the season or whatever? So maybe that's a good break for the Avalanche.
It was a great break for the Avalanche.
Absolutely.
Avs were pretty solid in that game.
They were.
One of the goals against, I remember was going, oh no. And then boom. Here, I can't remember what happened.
You can't mess with the Sharks. They have a lot they have a little bit of talent.
Pretty good fan base for the Sharks at the
A lot of people there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Wild fans there yesterday.
Felt really bad for the little kids behind me that were Sharks fans because one of them looked like she was going to cry.
Aww.
It was like, aww. And you want to say, hey, it was a good game, but you know, you got to let it go.
No, you turn around and went, you suck.
That was the kid next to me. That was the Avs fan kid next to me. He just tried to, somebody said, yells out at the Sharks, and he just go, Sharks suck!
You go ahead and cry, Sharks suck.
Suck it up, kid.
At least that day.
It was a great game.
Avs win.
Yeah, Ryan Wilson returned. He looked okay. He didn't look
great. He still, I mean, he was not a healthy scratch yesterday. Is there, his ankle's still bugging him.
Is there a single, you know, who comes back from an injury 100%, no questions asked? Maybe Sidney Crosby, because he's always out, and then, you know, well, he should be okay, but now he's
just what he does,
another month or something.
Yep.
Sidney Crosby had like 5 assists the other night.
Yeah, he's good.
Monster.
He's not too bad.
He's okay.
They should sign him.
Somebody should.
Tuesday, March 12th, Avalanche at the Oilers. Wait, Oilers at the Avalanche. The Avalanche play well. Here's my breakdown. The Avalanche play well for the first 5 minutes of the first period, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
They lose 4-0, flat, lifeless, totally on their heels. And this is after a big game, and it was just kind of that letdown that you would hope Sacco would make sure wouldn't happen. I'm not blaming him, but just one of the things I think about. Obviously, no one was expecting this after they played so well for the past 4 games. Shout out again to Mark Rycroft, who broke down two plays. There was one, and I wish there was video for this, whatever.
Like his breakdowns?
Yeah, one was the too many men that led to a power play goal, and he actually broke down the play that led to the penalty and then killed Cody McLeod for not covering who he should have. That was Nugent Hopkins' goal in the third.
Nugent Hopkins, 2 goals in the season, mm-hmm. both against the Avs.
I think that was his third. No, that was his second. That was his second. Oh, awesome. Thanks. Thanks for the fact.
I'm here for you.
Yes. I can see that. Thank you very much.
Like it's my fault. Like I made the turnover.
Basically, on the line change, as somebody was coming off, 2 Avalanche guys go out. It was, and this is what I'm talking about. As far as, I mean, you obviously have to blame the players, but you also have to make sure the coaches know what the players are doing. At this level, you would hope that if one guy comes off, they know who they're coming off for. I mean, that's something you do in rec hockey. You know, it's something that you basically say out loud. When so-and-so comes off, I got him, whatever.
Right.
I don't know whether it was just a miscommunication or sometimes what guys coming on will do, they'll take their eye off the guys that look like they might be coming off.
Right.
But basically, the Avalanche were skating with 6 guys on the ice for about 15 seconds before anybody saw it.
Wasn't there an end of a game where they were like skating 7 people?
Yeah, the Avalanche had 7, and I still don't think they scored. It was last year.
okay, now if it happens coming off of a power play. Okay. Like you have a defenseman in the box and
you and
the power play's over and he's closest guy. And maybe especially because like, you know, your power play unit's been out for a while, you might get 3 defensemen on the ice. And therefore when you get 3 defensemen come off, it gets a little strange.
Right.
But even then you gotta
communicate more.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's where either it's coaching or players, probably both.
Yeah.
But literally, it was just a terrible miscommunication, mm-hmm. and it's kind of embarrassing, actually, at the NHL level. It happens.
Look, there's a reason
that
it's in the rule book, though, is that too many men on the ice does happen.
Yeah.
That's why it's in there.
But how many teams have the Avalanche played against where, like, when's the last time you saw another team with 6 guys out on the ice just for no apparent reason? I can't remember, but, you know, it's easy.
Every time there's a too many men on the ice call.
There you go. No, but I mean like straight miscommunication. Yeah. Straight 2 guys go out for 1 guy coming off. It's just like, wow. And then basically Cody McLeod just starts drifting towards the boards when he's got Nugent Hopkins behind him. And, I mean, McLeod knows it. I'm sure he doesn't mind being called out. If you know anything about hockey, you can kind of see exactly what happened. And you could see they showed the replay. McLeod knew he wasn't supposed to be there. But that's where I like Rycroft, where he's not exactly ripping somebody as much as he's teaching people about the game.
Right.
And I thought that was great how he broke those down. So in the last little over 4 periods of hockey against the Oilers, the Avalanche have been outscored 9-0. Mm. So that makes you feel really good about life. Mm. Also, the score, the backhand shelf, who Justin Bourne writes for, we've talked about him before. They ran something here called forced watching. Basically, what they do is somebody on their staff loses a bet. And I think everybody else chooses what game they're going to watch. And it was the Avalanche Oilers, the game that guy had to watch. This was Jake Goldsbull. Go, I don't know how to say his last name. But this was the game. So I was trying to figure out.
Goldsby?
Yeah. Goldsby. There it is. Goldsby. I thought that was an L. Reading skills, literacy. It's a good thing. But anyways, so that was the forced watching for that night. So in some ways it was funny, but in another way, like, nobody wants to watch the Oilers against the Avalanche. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of depressing too. Kind of an interesting piece. They were just talking about how some of the stats that the Avalanche show were pretty interesting. And that's something we see game in, game out. So I don't watch enough of any other teams to be able to compare or contrast. But he was giving some credit to the altitude feed as far as some of the stats they were showing, and pretty interesting. But also kind of ripping the Avalanche announcers, which we all know and kind of love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an interesting post. Kind of goes back and forth between making me want to cry and, you know, funny if I wasn't an Avalanche fan, I guess. But I will post a link to that as well. So if you get a chance, check that out. Good stuff. Good stuff. After this game, or actually before this game, Tyson Barrie was reassigned to Lake Erie, and the fans are angry. So, James, do you have any thoughts on Tyson Barrie?
Send him down. Who cares? Send him down.
Get him out of here.
No, you know, he has not been that great. I don't know why. Maybe he's cute. Maybe it's just that he's young. Maybe it's just that Zanin and O'Brien have sucked so bad. I don't understand why everybody loves Tyson Barrie so much right now. Dude's in development. That's fine. Let him develop some more. But he got flat out beat. Beat.
Don't hurt your neck.
Beat.
Oh no.
Shake it around. It's like a Bill Cosby over here. Look, I don't understand why everybody loves Tyson Barrie so much. He was okay.
Yeah,
he's
all right.
And you know what? Maybe he's better than Zanin. Maybe
and not. O'Brien, like, he's played better than them. But who are they going to send down? They're not going to send down any of those guys making money.
No. What are you going to do? You're going to send down Zanin? Come on, it's not going to happen. Your defensive core is basically the same as last year plus Zanin, and they're going to keep them up. That's all that they're going to do. And you know what? Next year, when Zanin starts falling apart again, maybe Barrie will be ready to come up, but I don't believe that Barrie was ready to come up. The only thing that I was impressed with Barrie, and I feel like I'm Don Cherry for a second here in my
do you need a funny hat?
Need to, like, the piano. Like, the only thing that he's done, that he did, was be the first Avs player, Avs defenseman, to score this year.
Yeah.
Whoopity fleeping do.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I
who'd you rather have, Barrie or Johnson? I think it's a no-brainer.
It's easy, but anyways. Who would you rather have, like, Barrie or Zanin? But it's obvious. I mean, there's business here. You can't, you know, I guarantee you Zanin isn't a two-way deal. You can't, you're not going to send that guy down.
Yeah.
It's business. It's crazy business, and we should be
what
used to
it. What game was it recently that
should be used to that by now?
Zanin was getting punched in the back of the head and just, like, kind of.
That was.
Was that a Oilers?
Who was? It was, it was Mike Rupp, I believe.
Oh, it was
the first game of the Wild. Back and forth.
Yeah, and he just
home got and home, yeah.
Rupp has just bunched him like twice in the back of the head, and Zanin's just like, it's like nothing happened.
Well,
it's,
I think,
like,
Rupp was
got muffed.
Rupp had already, actually, Zanin had already been called. Zanin tripped him with his hip. And you didn't you tweet? Like, I saw a tweet by somebody like,
tweeted.
I think it was Scott Pantol then. Hi, Scott. It was more of a, you can't trip somebody with your hip. So he almost got his knee, but he tripped him. It was more of an interference call, but Rupp was not happy about it, and gave him a couple shots in the back of the head, and then drew his own penalty.
My tweet at the end of the Oilers game, by the way, Peter McNabb says hockey games don't end the way they used to. And I said, I said, for one thing, people's shoes stay on their feet, and the glass is taller also.
And the players stay on the ice.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this might be your first ass hockey podcast that you've ever listened to, but Peter McNabb, Mike Milbury wasn't the only one to go into the stands
with their skates on.
Right. In that Bruins game where Milbury took off the guy's shoe and beat him with it. First guy over the glass, Peter McNabb, ladies and gentlemen. Down low, Peter McNabb, your uncle calling the game. Over the boards. Going for it.
It's good stuff.
Oh, beautiful.
Good stuff.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful.
All right.
All right, Thursday, March 14th, Avalanche against the Wild. Avalanche lose 5-3. They never lead.
I wish I would have looked at my tweets before.
Goals by Parento.
Because I actually had something about that too many. I had something about that.
What'd you say? Rewind, go ahead.
Joe Sacco had no argument about for that too many men on the ice call, mostly because he can't count to six.
Where's the rim shot? Don't we have some?
Don't need one.
Come on. Avalanche never really in this game. Goals, like I said, Parento, Landeskog, Duchesne. I don't know. I didn't take many notes on that game. It was just kind of depressing. And then yesterday, Saturday, March 16th, wild at the Avalanche, Sabs lose 6-4, never led again, down 3-0 in the first. Actually, 3-0 and 4-1 in the first. Jiggy, four goals against on 14 shots. Pulled after the first period.
What do you expect? Dude doesn't start very often. Then put him in. You know, how many games has he played?
Not like four or five. Not many. And, you know, also Varlamov has not won a game on the road in regulation yet this season. So we'll go over standings here in a bit. You can see that coming.
Insane.
Parento and Landeskog in the second period made it 4-3. Play started getting pretty loud, but 90 seconds later, Pierre-Marc Bouchard after Landy's goal in the second period. And Devin Setoguchi, I don't know. He's becoming an Avalanche killer, whether he's wearing a Sharks or a Wild jersey.
Which is insane because pretty much Setoguchi gets slagged most of the time for his work ethic. Mm-hmm. But he plays well against the Avs.
Sure does. Two goals and an assist yesterday. That was your ball game.
Shiger's 2-1-1.
Yeah, and I think
six games played.
So. That might have been his first home start too. He's been on the road. It's usually on the second half of those home and homes on the road or back to back road games as well. So.
He was not credited with the loss.
Why?
Because there were more than four goals scored. Because the Avs came back because he let in four goals.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they never got closer than 4-3 though.
5-4 or 6-4 was the final.
Right.
So there were four goals scored by the other team. So therefore he was off the hook. I know it's stupid.
Okay. I just trust what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
I know the Avalanche lost 6-4.
All I know is that the NHL.com says that he did not quote unquote lose that game.
Because the Avalanche scored four goals?
Yeah.
Oh. That makes sense.
Because Gary Bettman said so.
That's the answer for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine the Avalanche team if they would or could take care of the puck in their own end. It starts with the defense like we've been talking about, and it's an ongoing thing, mm-hmm. and it is what it is, and it's not fun to watch. So, and then also we had a couple Wild fans behind us who were very nice. We were just kind of chatting the whole game, trying to explain why Milan Hejduk is a healthy scratch when I believe in the league right now behind Ginla, just because Northwest teams play each other that often. Milan Hejduk is second in the league for points against the Wild in his career.
Mm.
And he's a healthy scratch yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So trying to explain Sacco logic to Minnesota Wild fans, try that. Try and don't hurt yourself. So if you're feeling down lately, the Avalanche haven't led in the last three games, let alone won them, and have given up 15 goals in the last three games. And should we go into lines? You want to talk about standings for a second?
Hit the lines today because you found this on Twitter. So.
Yeah. I mean, basically, Dater was at practice today, and David Jones is now on the fourth line mm-hmm. with Chuck Kobosu and Cody McLeod. That's an expensive fourth line then with a $4 million player in your fourth line.
It's not your money.
Not my money.
It's not your money.
Still strange I don't know. So your first line in quotes or first line, McGinn, Duchesne, Parento.
Mm-hmm.
Parento, sorry. Mitchell, Stastny, Hejduk is your second or third line. And then Landeskog, O'Reilly, Paluchai is your second or third line. So
yeah,
it's just kind of mix up the lines, throw darts at a board, see where they end up, and hopefully find some kind of combination that's going to work. But again,
you've got like two dangerous players on your first two lines.
Absolutely.
You know, Duchesne and Parento are dangerous.
Yeah.
Landeskog and O'Reilly are dangerous. And, hey, great to see them playing on the same line. So yeah, I guess
and people wanted that right away.
Well, yep. I guess that whole, you know, I wanted to be captain thing really isn't or wasn't a thing.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who cares? Put the puck in the net.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been really pleased with Aaron Paluchai. I think he's played well.
Yep.
He gets hit hard.
Paluchai.
That's starting to grow on me, by the way.
Thank you.
I just want to give you credit for that.
Thank you.
But, I mean, he's had points, I think, in the last three out of four games he's played in. He was a healthy scratch game before last. Psychologic. But he's been solid,
yeah.
You know, and he's been a nice addition, kind of a nice move. I don't know whether he's not a deal breaker or anything, but he's looked good, and he's kept his spot in the lineup, whereas Oliver, where's Bartolo on here?
Not on there.
Huh. Really good tilt with Mike Rupp yesterday. Rupp ended up with 20 stitches.
Wow.
So he kind of, yeah, he gave him some pretty good shots. Yeah. And he got his team going at least for a little bit, but it was also, I think, 2-3 at that point.
Yeah.
That's all they had.
Well, the thing I'm going to say about this is that, A, you've got to do something with Jones, because Jones is not, he's not producing. He doesn't seem like he's, it seemed like he'd picked up his tempo a little bit in that game against the Wild,
mm-hmm.
The first one. I didn't get a chance to see yesterday's because I was working an Irish music show.
Who wasn't?
Yeah, exactly.
I think he had like one decent scoring chance, but other than that, you just don't notice he's out there.
So, you know, you got to do something. So you got to swap up the lines. And, you know, if this were, I got two words for you, Joel Quenneville. Quenneville was captain line swap. That was all he did the entire time he was here. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But if the Avs aren't finding stuff, they're in the standings right now. They're last in the conference.
By a couple points.
Do something, because saying that you're not starting the game on time ain't getting the job done, buddy. That's right. I puffed up my chest.
Moved the head back and forth a lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The plague does incredible things
to you. I hear you. Whatever you're on, stick with it.
You know what? We'll see what the lines are for the next game, which is that Monday, Tuesday?
It's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah, that's tomorrow. Right. It's tomorrow. You know, we'll just see what happens. But there's only so much, you know, you can do with an underachieving roster that doesn't listen to you anymore.
Well, that's where I start thinking about, okay, you can switch up the lines all you want, but are you looking for something that's not there? And I've said that before. Are you trying to create a combination that really won't get you what you're going to get, what you really want to get?
Absolutely. Ever? You know, because you're stuck with the lineup that you have. There's only so much that you can do with that. B, they put a complete and total check mark on last season because they re-signed so many players from last season. And C, the defense. What else do we need to say about that? You know, send Barry down or keep tight or keep Zan and blah, blah, blah. It's the exact same issue. You're pulling blood from a stone in a way, but there are some stones here that should not be that.
You're watering the rocks.
I'm kind of, the metaphor breaks down after a bit, but you know what I'm saying.
I totally know what you're saying. All right. The other big news between our last show and this show is realignment.
Woohoo! Realignment! Woo! That's not going to be our realignment sound or anything, but hey,
The Avalanche are changing. They're changing the divisions. I do too. I mean, I've never seen you like this, but it's fun. So the Avalanche really won't be traveling out west as much as they're used to anymore. So the Avalanche are losing Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver.
Yes.
In their division.
I'm so happy about that.
And basically, Division B, whatever they choose to name it, will be the Blackhawks, the Avalanche, Stars, Wild, Preds, Blues, and Jets.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not here or there about it. I think it's a fairly smart move. I mean, the Avalanche are really the only team in the Mountain Time Zone, period. So they're going to be traveling a lot. When you look at the map, you can just see they're out in the middle of nowhere. So,
right.
It is what it is. It should be exciting to see some new, they're hoping for some new rivalries and creating or rekindling some other rivalries, like moving Detroit to the Eastern Conference and playing against the Montreals and the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. And,
right.
This is just a heads up. They'll be playing 5 games against 5 teams in their division, 3 home, 2 away, and then 2 home, 3 away against the other 3, and 4 games against 1 team, 2 home, 2 away. And the teams will be rotated on a yearly basis, so they'll flip back and forth. And what else? Within the conference, non-division games, they'll play 3 games versus each team, either one home, 2 away, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And the teams will be rotated on a yearly basis. That's 21 more games. Non-conference. Now, here's kind of the fun part. This is the Sidney Crosby effect, but every team will be in every arena every year.
Right.
So that's kind of cool, too. I mean, everybody likes to get their Crosby fix and all that. So 2 games versus each team, 1 home, 1 away, 32 more games for the year, and that's it.
So I love it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Do you like the divisional realignment?
I mean, it's fine.
Do you like how it worked out?
It's fine. I think there's obviously something needed to be done with Winnipeg. And Detroit in the Western Conference and Blue Jackets as well.
Yeah.
I think it lines up better geographically. So I think the big thing that the NHLPA and the league looks for, and one thing that Kevin Weeks brings up on NHL Network was the travel and just being able to sleep in your own bed more often, at least to a better product on the ice.
Yes.
Instead of tired players who get in at 3 or 4 in the morning for their next game. And, so I think this is all about the game, and no, I don't like hate it or anything. I think it's interesting and it's a nice switch. Yeah.
I love having Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be nice. Losing Detroit is kind of a bummer, but it's kind of not because the Avs really haven't been able to compete with Detroit in a while, mm-hmm. and that rivalry has pretty much become nothing.
Everybody's pretty much gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least from the original.
I mean, the fans still feel like it's a rivalry, at least the Avs fans.
And that's fine.
You know.
Good for them.
But I love having Chicago in. I love having Dallas in.
Yeah.
There's not, you know, having Nashville in is great. I'm so happy that that the three Canadian teams get lopped off because I was sick of, you know, I was sick of that alignment that there were two American teams and three Canadian teams in the division.
Yeah.
And, you know, same thing in the East. But at the same time with the East, you had shorter travel. You had a lot shorter travel everywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the only thing that sticks out as far as the East is Tampa Bay and Florida will not play anybody basically north of them until you get to like Buffalo or Boston. So that was only the thing geographically that kind of stuck out. But I think
there's only two that were nearby, and that's Carolina and Washington.
Yeah.
Ever since Atlanta's gone, whoopity freaking do. So
Tampa Bay and Florida will play more like an Avalanche schedule where they have to travel a little bit more, but still it's the East Coast. You're not flying across the nation. And
the big deal, of course, was you get the snowbirds. You get all the Canadians that come down in the winter to live down there will want to go to, you know, the Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto games, which is unfortunate that you have to sell your building based on the away teams. But
ask the Avalanche.
Yeah, do what you got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a ton of Wild fans there yesterday. Ton of Blackhawks fans, like you said, ton of Sharks fans as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's all part of the business.
Only like three Predators fans, four Predators fans.
Yeah.
There weren't many.
Yeah.
When we went to that game.
Yeah, the Wild fans were really happy with each other, and that was just how the game was going. But they weren't acting like any other visiting fans. A lot of friendships were being made on the concourse in between periods. A lot of, you know, drinks raised. It was just
Minnesota.
Yeah,
all right. So they're kind of cold and docile as a people, anyways.
Oh no!
But it's not like their season has gone exactly the way that they thought it was going to go either. I mean, they're not. I mean, they're doing a lot better now.
Yeah,
than they were. You know. At the beginning of the season, but I mean they're 7-3-0 in their last 10.
That's good hockey.
That's good hockey. But
it's hockey, baby.
What is hockey?
Well,
listen to the last episode if you want to find out what hockey is. We can't tell you everything.
You take your stick and you shoot to score the hockey puck.
I
like every team every year. I think obviously this year is kind of an anomaly in the fact that. They're only playing Western Conference teams until the Avalanche make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. But anyways, but I mean, I like seeing every team. I like seeing the East Coast teams anyways.
Yeah.
But I think that's good business.
Yeah, I do too.
People call it the Sidney Crosby factor. It used to be the Ovechkin factor, but that's not the factor anymore.
God.
That's pretty interesting situation.
You know, good for Columbus because they needed this.
Sure.
Bad.
Sure.
Well, even without just the travel issues, the time issues. I mean, if you're in Columbus, if you're a fan in Columbus and your team goes to play the Sharks and they have a 7:30 local start.
9:30, right?
10:30.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be better. It'll be better for the fan. I think it's a few less 8:30 starts. I mean, I'm never complaining, but the 8:30 starts, it's late here and that's only an hour difference. So,
Let's see. Columbus, Columbus, Ohio is how far from Pittsburgh? Let's Google map this. And it's 185 miles from Pittsburgh, and yet they were in different division or different conferences.
You can drive that in a few hours.
That is 2 hours and 54 minutes, according to Google Maps. Straight down I-70, my friend.
Bam.
You can even stop along the way at some gas station, maybe get yourself
a
peach fizz.
You should know that.
I do.
I would have been especially impressed if you could name something between those two, because I know you've driven that.
How about Wheeling?
The Nailers.
Home of the Nailers. Yep.
I've seen some really sweet St. Patrick's Day jerseys.
What?
Speaking of just minor league jerseys, because
from the Nailers.
Who's got the big bull with the stuff coming out of its nose? Come on.
My neighbors. They're the
Toros?
They're the Maybe, yeah.
Your neighbors.
Oh, big bull. I thought you said bull at first. It's like my neighbors. They're the Stoners. What do you want?
This is great. We're so random.
Maybe the Bulls, but also remember the Stars had that ugly third jersey with like the weird.
The Mooteress. It's known as the muterus. Uterus.
Did you find that out from from Terry Fry? Is that like a Fry word or something?
No, it's just some
muterus.
Yeah, those were bad. Weird. Those didn't last very long.
No, I should have picked one up for $20 when I had
a
chance.
It was a constellation. All right, so I will post the NHL.com story about the realignment and also Puck Daddy's breakdown.
Okay.
And get a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So, shout outs.
Let's hit it.
Go for it.
I already shout out to Phil Park. So
Philly the Fool.
Forget you, buddy.
Right on.
No, I'm kidding. Had a great time at the game with him. Dario Ronzone, my teammate on the Rampage. I don't remember if it was before the last – I think it was before the podcast, but even – I know I said it on Twitter that he was going to score – that I was calling a goal for him in our next game, and sure enough, he did. Not only did he score our only goal because we lost 6-1. It was horrible.
How did he score that goal?
I don't even remember.
Working hard down low?
No. He's a slacker.
Okay.
And Mike Verminsky, he played his first playoff hockey game the other day. He's a goalie for the Barbershop Brawlers and won 6-2. So shout out to him. He's a goalie and a ref. So he's crazy and stupid. Mike gets it.
Also want to give a shout out to Chris Jones, who listens to us from the UK. Chris has been back and forth with me on Twitter a few times. Chris, thank you for your support. And we also want to give a shout out, big shout out, to Mike Casalena, new Avs fan in the house, had a beautiful baby girl, and
picking up the Avs jammies.
That's right. Avs onesies all around. Avs onesies and Avs bibs all around, Mike. Congratulations to you and yours. Have fun with that.
Pick up them onesies at the thrift store.
There's some kind of irony between the Avalanche playing thrift shop in between whistles and the Avalanche payroll. There's a joke somewhere in there that I couldn't quite
bargain get. Basement.
The way the Avalanche spend money and playing Macklemore's thrift shop in between whistles, I don't know. There's a joke in there somewhere. Not finding it.
That blueberry jersey is your grandpa's style.
Seriously, I want to borrow your grandpa's style. All right. Besides a bottom broken keyboard, are you good? Are your plague's good, right?
For the
spiel.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Standings. Wait a minute. Standings.
Oh, standings? They're not outstanding.
Avs are last in the conference.
By a couple points.
24 points. The playoff slot right now, playoff line is 30. The chance, I think I read somewhere, I think it was on Twitter, somebody said that the Avs would have to go 15-6 to make it to what they're thinking the magical number is, which is going to be 54 to clinch. So 15-6, that's doable. That's not doable. Maybe it's doable.
We'd like to see it. We'll just put it that
Listen,
way.
Listen, and the thing, Mike, who we gave the shout out to, also he said on Twitter today, let me just pull this up and read this to you. Remember how last podcast was positive? Have a feeling this one won't be. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's you know, and this is not, I'm not saying anything about Mike here. I'm just saying about this individual thing here. Yeah, it's hard to be positive about what we've been watching, what we've been seeing, but and about being last in the conference. It just is. The Columbus Blue Jackets, who are perennial losers, are tied with Nashville at 28 points. The way that their goalie Bobrovsky has been playing, they could make the playoffs. They could easily make the playoffs the way that the San Jose Sharks have been falling, the way that Detroit has been doing, because Detroit has not been looking very good lately. They've beaten Detroit. I think they've won every game against Detroit that they've played. I mean, that's phenomenal for them. You know, so how is it? It's hard to stay positive through all of this, and there's good reasons. So
yeah, we try though.
You know,
there's always something to talk about. So
I'm still going to watch the games. I'm still going to, my jaw is still going to drop at the boneheaded plays. And then, you know, what are you going to do?
San Antonio Rampage.
Oh,
kind of cool.
San Antonio Rampage.
Nice. I like what minor leagues do with their St. Patrick's Day.
San Antonio Rampage have like this all gray building that's just so weird.
Aren't there gray and black jerseys too?
Yeah.
If I remember right.
Yeah. Well, it's the same home as the San Antonio Spurs, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So it's just this kind of strange building.
Yeah.
Been to one game there.
Right on.
Is it time for me to do the spiel?
Are you ready to do the spiel?
Oh God, this plague is killing me.
Well, yeah. Get through as much as you can and then I'll pick up the slack.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at avshockeypodcast.com, where you can comment on this show because, you know, we asked you to because there are things that we think that we may either made a mistake on or don't remember. You can check out.
Highly likely on both.
Yeah. This plague is really getting to my call here. Gabriel, you can check out Jay making a Gabriel Landeskog jersey.
For a fraction of the price.
Yeah, dirt cheap.
I also have the post that I will link up with the breakdown of the Ducks game. That was ugly.
Oh, yeah. So check those things out. You can find links to the Facebook fan page, which is at facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast, and a link to Jay's Twitter account, which is AVSHKYPodcast. Also link, of course, to Curse Word Gear. I have been slacking because I haven't made Stick It In Your Ear Hole gear.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that towards the end of the season just for some new gear to rock during the off season.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, my blog's at jerseysandhockeylove.com, and I'm Tape Lake on Twitter. I think that's about it. There was something else. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you get a chance.
We haven't asked for a while.
Yeah, rate the show if you can. You know, leave out the word rambling because apparently that's what I'm doing right now. But if you rate the show, that helps other people find it. That helps in iTunes rankings and searches. So then it kind of shows them that, yeah, people are listening. And people
just take a minute. I mean, most everybody, we get the 5 stars going. So those of you that have done that, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And we'll go check that as well. And that's shout out material. If you to put a little carrot on the string for you,
not to bribe you or anything, but we're bribing you.
Yeah. That's what we were doing.
Yeah.
So otherwise, that's it. We're getting there. So over halfway through the season already. Avs need to pick up their game. They know that. We know that. We'd like to see that. So
you hear the cops in the background coming towards it.
They're coming to get the hockey team.
They're coming to take us away. Ha ha.
They need to. James, I hope you feel better.
I do too.
Good luck at your game.
Thanks. I'm gonna do some good hard work down low, and by that I mean throwing up.
And whoa.
After that game, I hope to throw up because I worked so damn hard.
And start the game on time.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I'm just happy to get there on time considering sometimes I've shown up and you know, they're just getting past warm-ups and I'm like, man. I got to get changed.
I'm one of those. I like to get there really early.
Oh, I do too.
I couldn't. Yeah, that's bad. So, hey, good luck.
Thank you.
Hope you survive. All right. For everybody else, we'll be back in a couple weeks. And hopefully we have some good stuff to talk about.
Of course we will. It's the Avalanche, baby.
And if we don't, we'll be back anyways.
We'll talk about all the crap.
Hey, do you want to do the back and forth sign off thing, or is your plague bugging you? Was that totally lame?
I'm going to let you hit it.
I appreciate that. James,
yeah.
Touch the iPad.
Oh.
Just wash your hands or something first.
Don't have any Purell on.
Oh, come on, man. Anyways. All right. Thank you, James. Thank you. Yep. All right. For everybody else, as always, we'll talk to you a little bit later. And until then, take care. Let's go, Avs. And we'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later. Can I bring the thunder?
Yeah, I don't even know why my mic's on.
Okay. Hello, Avalanche.
Bring it.
Damn it. Don't you dare do that again. That was awesome.